I don't know if you ever do any word studies in the scriptures. If you take a particular term in the Word of God and just start looking through the scriptures to see what the Bible has to say about that term. But one such term that you may do this study with is that of rivers, to look at rivers in the Word of God. And what you will find is that rivers play a significant role in the Word of God from the very earliest portions of the Scriptures to the very latter parts of the Word of God. They are significant. They signify truths to us that we ought to understand. And while it is not my intention tonight to get into that, yet we have here before us the mention of waters, the idea of a flowing water that is mentioned over and over again in these early verses of Ezekiel 47. Now, if you have ever read the latter part of Ezekiel, you'll be aware that there's a lot going on that we confess doesn't always find full agreement among the saints in terms of what exactly is being presented. But you have here the mention of a temple. It's mentioned here as a house. Afterward, he brought me again onto the door of the house, and so on and so forth. And this is this place of worship that is being depicted here by the prophet and through the symbolism that is put before him in this portion of Scripture. But I want to just draw some lessons from these early verses of chapter 47 that I trust will be of encouragement to us, simply as we come to pray. We're coming to pray, we're coming to seek the Lord, and the question is, what will the Lord have for us to learn? And in verse 5, you will note here, afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And if you were to take that, if you have a margin, you will see this, waters to swim in could be translated waters of swimming. Waters of swimming, and that is what I have entitled our message here tonight, waters of swimming. And that's what we want to consider as the Lord will give us help. And first note with me the source of these waters, the source of them. In verse 1, we are told of the flow of these waters. The waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. So there's two very simple points to see here about the source of these waters. The first is their connection, their flow from the temple, from the house. Now the temple always reminds us of the place where God dwells, the place where the Lord makes his presence known unlike anywhere else. And that would not have to be explained to the Jew. When they looked to the temple, when they went to the temple, they went there predominantly to meet with God. That was where God said he would bless his people, where he would meet with his people, where he would come and tabernacle with them. And so again, in this symbolism, we have here this flow coming out of the place where God is to dwell, the house of God. Now, we understand that we are made onto God a tabernacle, a temple, a building that the Lord is developing among us. And individually and collectively, we are to be the habitation of the Spirit, that the Lord is to dwell in us. He is to walk in us. And wherever the people of God are found, there is the temple of God in a certain sense. Our Lord Jesus Christ, it was told of us in John chapter 1, that he came to dwell among us and he was made flesh. He tabernacled among us. That's the sense of him being described there in John chapter 1. He is tabernacling. He is taking the place of no longer this physical temple that's to be looked to as the source of blessing, but now we look to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, as the source of our blessing. And as we are in union with him, so blessing abounds from the life of the body of Christ. At least this is how it ought to be. But you are well aware this is not always the case. Our reflection of the Lord being those that's in whom God is meant to dwell is not always as it should be. And I know, again, people say, well, the Lord is with us. And we thought about it on Sunday evening. It's very true. He will never forsake us. He will never abandon his people. And yet I balance that with language tonight, reminding you that we can grieve the Spirit, that we can quench the Spirit. And there is, in language like that, indicated the fact that there's something that is lost. when the Lord's people are not what they ought to be. Now, they are all that they're ever going to be in Christ, but there is a responsibility to walk with God and manifest more of the fullness of the Spirit in our lives. And it's so easy for us to get complacent and not fully be the source of blessing that we ought to be as the Lord flows through us his blessings to the world. And so we're pointed back to the source. We're pointed back to not just a building here. We are pointed back to Christ. The source of blessing is the Son of God. And from verse 1, we're pointed to this truth. If you're going to be a blessing to anyone, if blessings are going to flow out into the lives of others, you must go to the source. You must daily be in communion with Christ, walking with him, knowing his word, living it out, and endeavoring to share that with the rest of the world. So are we in communion with Christ? Real, intimate fellowship with the Son. I think many of us are walking out of step with God. I don't mean to say that we're backslidden. I wouldn't even go that far to say that we're, you know, totally away from God. I don't want to misrepresent any of the Lord's people. But as we go through these verses tonight, my intention will be to prod in your mind and heart the need for every one of the Lord's people to ensure they're walking in intimate fellowship with Christ. That we are a contradiction when we say that we are Christian and we're not really walking with any level of intimacy with Christ. The waters flow from the house. As a church, as we consider our need for the blessing of the Lord, as I indicated in my prayer, it is not really, and I'm not saying all plans are wrong, all strategies are wrong. There are things that can be put in place, things that we ought to do, things that can be a blessing and the Lord will use. But if we do all of that, if we are found guilty of doing this, that, and the other, and not running to Christ, not running, treasuring the fact that nothing can be done without him, nothing significant can be accomplished without his help and favor, that we first run to the Lord at every trial, every temptation, every trouble, every difficulty, every concern, every impossibility, we run to the Lord. We don't start developing plans. We don't set up committees. We run to the Lord. We need the Lord. And so in the image that is put before us here, we see that. But note, significantly, that the waters run under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. The altar is not left out of this vision. And the altar is not left out of the vision because the altar can't be left out of any understanding of the blessing of God. The altar is the place of sacrifice. The altar is a place of atonement. The altar is the place of blood shedding. The altar is the place of reconciliation. It is the place of union. It is the place where those cut off from God are brought nigh to God because blood has been shed. And therefore, it must be mentioned in any understanding of blessing. The blessings that the church enjoy are in light of the cross. They're in light of what Christ has accomplished in his substitutionary death on our behalf. And so we think of that. And as we see our need to run to Christ, to run to him, we are able to run to him because of what he has done. Because of Calvary, because of the cross. And beloved, as we think of our need to draw near to the Lord, to get closer to God in our day, it is never, never away from, it is never losing sight of, it is never putting in the background the cross of Jesus Christ. That is the source of blessing. That is the pinnacle. That is the place where we understand this is why I can be blessed. This is why the church can know revival today. Not because of plans and programs, but because there is at Calvary an answer. an answer for a sinful people, an answer for a backslidden church, an answer for all the waywardness of the people of God, an answer that promises reconciliation, promises fellowship, promises forgiveness, and promises that we can enter in by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, right into the presence of God and pray. Bring our petitions. Come to God knowing that He hears us. So we've seen the source of these waters. We see, secondly, the supply of these waters. What is interesting in these verses is how there is the building of the supply of the waters. And you come to verse 3, and it tells us at the end of it that he has brought, the prophet has brought through the waters where to the ankles. And then we're told in verse 4, to the knees. And then again in verse 4, to the loins. And then in verse 5, waters to swim in, or waters of swimming. The supply of these waters. The build-up of this imagery is intentional, of course, and it has its prophetic significance in terms of what the future holds for the kingdom of Christ. You read through this, it's clear as you go through the chapter that the promise of the future is blessing. That these waters will build and they will flow to bless the world. But they have this gradual build-up, as you can see. The ankles are the place of beginning, the place where you're able to walk without much hindrance and without much restriction. It's the place where all begins, where everything seems so small, but it's there nonetheless. And we think of the life-giving power of these waters, which is what water always signifies, the sense of life. Whether it's waters that come in the rains or waters that flow by a river that make glad the city of God, according to Psalm 46, waters bring life, they bring power, they bring energy, they bring strength. They supply the need that we have. And so waters to the ankles show the beginnings of promise. And this is where life exists, waters to the ankles, there's water there. It's like looking at the immature Christian, the beginnings of the Christian life, and you see, well, the waters aren't very deep, but the waters are there. We can see the life is there. There's promise there. There's encouragement there, but it can't stay there. The waters can't stay to the ankles. The waters must develop. They must grow. They must deepen. They must flow with greater vigor. Now, every one of us that names the name of Christ have been here in our Christian life. This is the point of salvation. This is where we are in our own beginnings. You can take it in terms of the church, and certainly that is the imagery more in fitting with the prophecy itself. But taking it in our own lives, just as the church has its early beginnings, so every Christian has its early beginnings. Where you can see the indication of life, and they begin to pray, and they begin to seek God, and they begin to show interests in things that they never showed interest in before. Waters to the ankles. Thank God for those that get there. God by His grace. And you can see it. It's not by our own effort. He brought me through the waters. He's being led. You can see the sovereignty of God even in the language that is spoken here. And how fitting it is. For everyone that's been saved, He brought me. The Lord has done this work in our lives, brought us to this early part. Think back in those early days when the waters began to flow, when you began to think about Christ in a way you'd never thought of Him before, when His Word became something that you couldn't get enough of, when you're always hungering after more of Christ, more preaching, more praying, more meeting with the people of God, more studying of the Word of God, more, you couldn't get enough. Think back, beloved. Don't sit there just kind of stale tonight. Get the mind going. Think back to those early days of excitement where you hear the rustling of those shallow waters full of life, full of vitality, promising so much as they make their way down the hillside. You were there, and everything seemed so full of promise. This is the place of beginnings. It is not the place where we stop. It's not the place where we're satisfied. It's not the place where we say, enough is enough. It's just the beginning. And then we have verse 4, waters to the knees. Waters to the knees. This is the place of dependence. This is as you grow, you learn how much more you need the Lord in your life. Knees always remind us of getting on our knees before God. The posture of waiting on God. And you get to that point, don't you? At some point in your Christian life, you really begin to grasp, I need the Lord. I don't just need Him in terms of the forgiveness of my sins. I've understood that. That's the shallow waters. That's the recognition I'm a sinner and I need Christ. But then you move on. You come to a point where you grasp, I am utterly dependent on the Lord for everything. And you learn the importance of waiting on Him. Where you wait on your knees before the Lord. This is a good place to be. This is where we must be. On our knees before the Lord. Waters that flow a little deeper. Waters that indicate greater promise of blessing in the future. Let me ask you, Christian, are you on your knees in these days? Are you waiting on God in this fashion? Is the water flowing deeper today than it did at the earlier stages of your Christian life? Is it flowing deeper? Are you going on, Christian? Are you really? Are you moving on? Are you developing? Are you growing? Are you advancing? Are you making progress? Or are you stuck? Waters to the knees. This we need. We need the Lord to bring us here. He brought me through the waters were to the knees. May the Lord bring us there. But it doesn't stop there. It brings us to consider also the fact that the waters reached to the loins, verse 4. Brought me through the waters were to the loins, the end of that verse. And this is the place of strength. You can see the build up here. There's a place of beginning, dependence, strength. There must be life initially. There must be dependence on the Lord. And as we depend more on the Lord, then strength comes. There is more strength given. The Lord supports us more, gives us more ability to withstand the pressures, to advance in the cause, to grow in grace, and to make progress in our Christian lives. Waters to the loins. Again, you see the sense of hope here as building. The waters are building and building in their strength and vigor, and the future is looking bright. And how many Christians, that has been their testimony. It began so well, and it moved on so deliberately, and things looked so promising, and then something happens. Something happens. They no longer are making the progress they once did. They get stuck. They're no longer advancing in any of their experiences with God and their fellowship with God and their meeting with God. And we get comfortable. We're strong enough to withstand the power of the water as it comes to our loins. And we just stand there, stagnant. Not moving, not going forward, not going, carrying on to the deeper flow. Just get stuck there. How many of us are stuck? Listen, the only measure of this is what the Lord sees. It's not what I see. It's not what others see, it's what the Lord sees. He measures this. He measures where we are. And this is such an apt description of many of us that we can look at our lives and wonder, am I still with waters to the ankles? Have I been brought to waters to the knees? Have I been brought to waters to the loins? Where am I on the spectrum? But none of these are the goal. This is not where we are to stay. At no point here are we to say, this is sufficient, no farther. Because you go on there in verse 5, afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And here it becomes impossible. Here it is in a place where man no longer knows anything of his own strength. It's not about man anymore. To be in these waters, to survive in these waters, to know the blessing of these waters is entirely a work of God. It is God working in the life. It is the superabundance that the Lord intends, because as these rivers flow on, as they move on, they go into a desert. We'll get to that in just a moment. They go out to a place where the water is so desperately needed. But using this imagery, beloved, using the imagery of these deepening waters, I want you to see, in light of even what the Lord says in John chapter 7, when he talks about the Spirit, that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, that there's this promise of this outworking of life and power and vitality and energy and strength that ought to exist in every believer. Something that is on display when we come to the book of Acts and we wonder, what happened to these people? Before, they were afraid to own Christ. They were running away from trial. They denied the Lord explicitly. They had no desire to stand up for Christ. What happened? What occurred? What made the difference? The coming down of the Spirit. All of a sudden, their lives don't matter anymore. They are all there before God to be used at His will. They're not considering anything about the preservation of their own lives, really. They are just there to be used by God. And God comes, God fills, God uses, and marvelous things are done. And they take knowledge of them that they've been with Jesus. They've been in the temple. They've been at the source, the place where blessing is enjoyed. That's where they've been. And as the person I was talking to this afternoon, they were talking about days of blessing in the past, thinking of how the Lord moved mightily in a bygone day. They just made the statement, there were waters to swim in. And I thought, yes, brother, that's what we need again. Waters to swim in. Waters of swimming. Does that describe the church today? Seasons when it's easy, it seems, to see souls converted again. When you're standing in the water to the ankles, any movement, it requires you to move. Same at the knees, same at the loins. But when you get to waters to swim in, you get carried. You get carried downstream. You don't have to move a muscle. And that's what days of blessing are like for the church. It's not that the church isn't doing anything. The church is. But it appears in terms of the product of the church, the outworking of the church, what's happening through the efforts of the church, that may largely look similar to what they were doing in previous times. But the product is different. There's a movement. There's a flow. There are souls being saved, truly delivered, marvelously won for Christ. Lives turned upside down. Homes transformed. Communities being awakened. A sense of God in the district. I mean, this we've heard of this. And not way back in the book of Acts. We've heard of this in recent times. We've heard of this within the last 100 years. Various parts of the world still, thank God, are knowing measures of God's blessing and His power and His energy and His strength, and ordinary people seeing extraordinary things, and multitudes being converted and churches being planted and preachers raised up, and the kingdom going forward against all the opposition of the enemy. And we must see it. We have to. We have to see the Lord do it again. We can't be content that we're simply in the waters. We need the Holy Spirit to be poured out with such power that He carries us along with clear indications of blessing. That brings us in to consider the salvation of these waters. The salvation of these waters. Look at verse 8. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert or into the plain and go out into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. The sense is the waters flow. And wherever the waters go is going to change the areas where the waters reach. Now we know this. We know this practically speaking. Very few places survive without a water source. Most of our towns and cities generally are beside a water source. And wherever the water flows, it makes a difference. And if you read on down through this chapter, you can see again the changes that take place because of the water. But it is looking to a future. It is looking to a day that whether you believe it comes in the gospel age or you believe it comes in a future age, it is days of blessing. And the application is there for us. That the Lord's intention through the work of Christ, through what he has done, is to bless. That we are not to expect the church to be stagnant, but we're to expect the seasons of blessing. But the expectation doesn't make us sit back. The expectation makes us run. It doesn't make us get indifferent. Action makes us energized to go after it. A man who has an interest in a woman and finds out that it's reciprocated in some way, that she also is interested, doesn't sit back and say to himself, well, I'll just let it happen. He takes the encouragement of she's interested and he pursues, generally, is what you will find. He pursues in the hope, the indication that it will be reciprocated and it will come back in blessing to him. So it is for the church. The Lord has given an indication of blessing. Tarry until you be endued with power. Wait. Wait for the promise. If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Waters are swimming. So what do we do tonight? What do we need to do? We need to go back to Christ. A devotional life with Christ. He is the one who gives the blessing. He is the one who's ascended to the Father. He is the one who gives the Spirit. He will send the Comforter, and he will send him in abundance. And tonight it is getting back to Christ. A devotional, sincere, ever-developing, growing, maturing, having our times of prayer, not just to bring before the Lord a list of items that are on our mind, but just to be with him. Just time with him. And I believe, I absolutely believe, if this church, if all of us, myself included, have kindled in our hearts a desire just for Jesus Christ, just for Christ. Not coming, I'm interested in some exciting incitement in the church. I want some excitement in the church, so I'm going to come and ask God for a little bit of excitement. You know what happens when that's the motive? You know what occurs when you're coming to the Lord just for some end product? You stop short because he holds it back and you don't get it. And then, well, what's the point? If I'm not getting what I'm coming to him for, why continue? But you know what happens when your time with the Lord is simply to spend time with the Lord? I'm here because I just want to be with the Lord. You know what happens? Well, he's always there. And the desire is always fulfilled. Because when I get alone with God, just to meet with the Lord, he doesn't disappoint. He's there. And I can meet with him, and regardless of all the other things, the Lord is there. I'm going to meet with the Lord, and whether he answers the things I seek from his hand, well, I've met with him. And when the motivation is that, you're never disappointed, beloved. So the need of the church is to get back to he who is the true tabernacle of God, the one who tabernacled among us, brought us salvation, brought us grace to our hearts, just to know Jesus. And we love spending time with Jesus, I'll tell you. Well, the blessings will speak for themselves. Waters are swimming. Oh, that we would enjoy it. May the Lord help us. Let us think of the words that we're going to sing. May the Lord bring us nearer to himself.